Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Ready to Talk podcast. I'm here today with Tina Bell of Blue Owl Counseling. Before we get started, I would like to point down there where you can see actually Tina's website, blueowlcounseling.com. And you can also see a link to GD McClure's bail fund, San Diego bail fund. That's San Diego's grassroots bail fund to help a protesters who are still out there protesting. Even though it's not on the news, it doesn't mean it's not happening. It still is very much happening. And before we get started with learning to trust your gut, even in therapy, Tina, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Tina Bell. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I have a private practice. It is called Blue Owl Counseling, and I see individuals, young adults, and work with people on their anxiety and depression. And I also am starting a nonprofit with my friend Allison. It is called Stronger Together, and we want to help people heal trauma. So that is me.
Yeah, I came back. welcome, Tina. Thank you for being here. I'm super excited to have you. Ooh, hello. Oh, and Tina went away for a hot second. So while she's coming back, there you go. Tina, can you hear me?
Oh no, I can't hear you.
Anymore. Okay, well, I'm going to give her a hot second. I'm going to privately message her. And just try to come in and out. Today has been super weird. Or restart. Sorry. Out and in. StreamYard is being super weird today. I don't know what's happening. I couldn't sign in with my phone either. And Tina was having problems with that. So hopefully she could. Oh, can you hear?
Yes.
Oh, I got you. Cool. Awesome. I'm really excited to have her here. She's another one of the mental health professionals I've brought on, and I'm super excited to have a licensed therapist and to talk about therapy, because I know it can be really scary for people. But especially now in quarantine, where, you know, our mental health is taking somewhat of a blow. I think it's even more important to understand what therapy is and kind of take away the stigma from that. So, Tina, I know you wanted to start with an exercise. So why don't you lead us into it?
Yes. So I just wanted to say that I think when things in our world, in our lives get more hectic than usual, the first thing to go is, unfortunately, self-care. And I just wanted to normalize that and say that it is just as important to take care of yourself and find a good therapist as it is to try to balance all the things that are shifting in our world too. So I'm not going to tell you how you should feel when you're picking a therapist, but I'm going to try to show you how you would like to feel. Okay. So
cool.
Step one is just to think of a relationship that you're currently in that feels less than great. Okay. And what are the feelings and thoughts that come up for you? Okay. So this is maybe a relationship that is less than perfect. Maybe you feel a little down or dismissed or not heard. And just feel in your body where that is. Okay. And some of the feelings or thoughts around that might be misunderstood, sad, confused, heavy, lonely, defensive, exhausted, angry, or restricted. Okay. So now the second step is to think of a relationship that you have or have had that feels better. What are the feelings and thoughts that come up for you? Just notice where in your body you feel that. And some of the thoughts or feelings might be light, playful, connected, understood, heard, challenged in a good way, valued and empowered. Now, I understand that there are probably some of you that don't know or maybe think you don't deserve or are worthy or capable of having a healthy relationship. But if you did know you were deserving of having a healthy relationship, what would that feel like? Okay, so I just want you to think and feel that into your body. Okay. Now, this is step three. So fill in the blank out loud over the chat or in your mind and heart, whatever feels most empowering and aligned to you. I am deserving, inviting, and giving myself permission to feel and or think, fill in the blank, when choosing a therapist or in a relationship. I am inviting myself to feel or think, fill in the blank, when in a relationship. So take a deep breath and let it out and consider it already done. And you can use this exercise in your other relationships, but that's just something simple that you can ground yourself into feeling and trusting your gut, getting clear on what you need.
I like it. I put mine in the chat. My fill in the blank is what I want to feel. Just feeling allowed to feel literally what you want to feel instead of what you think the other person wants you to feel, which I think is really can be really hard and has been really hard for me in the past, especially being a people pleaser and a peacekeeper. I remember like going to therapy and being like, at some point I had the problem, and I'm sure other people get this too, where it's just like, oh, but I want them to be, I don't want to be in trouble, and I don't want, and then I want them to not, I don't want to do poorly because I don't want them to feel like they're not doing well as a therapist for me, or as like a partner for me. It's really hard sometimes to get over those feelings, even in therapy, which I feel is like, huh, it's kind of a one-way street. Like, there just definitely have to be like mutual respect and like everyone trying to communicate to their best. But it, you know, it is about you when you go to therapy. And even when that's true, for me, sometimes it was really hard to not make it about pleasing the other person. Or right. Telling, you know, them what I'm pretty sure I know they want to hear, you know, which makes therapy, when you approach it that way, less effective because then you're not, you're not being honest. You're not actually saying what's happening, which again is really hard if some of like your maladaptive coping mechanisms or behavioral patterns that you actually want to shift is pretending you're okay. So I'm excited to talk about this. I've been wanting to talk about this for a really long time, like with a therapist, like a licensed therapist, and kind of give like my opinion, like experience slash like ask you what you think, because therapy is really difficult and approaching therapy can be really difficult. So I know you said in the beginning that you don't want to tell anyone like how to pick a therapist, but I do have some questions or opinions that I would love to hear your thoughts on. So I think one thing about therapy that people don't know when they're looking for a therapist is that there are specialties. Like, yes. And that can make so much of a difference, because I think most people know like talk therapy and then like cognitive behavioral therapy, I think is what people like hear mostly. And that's what's been like echoed back to me. But that's like one
right.
or two, if you want to generally say like talk therapy. And so I think it's really important. Like for me right now, it's really important. And I know I really want someone with trauma experience because I have gone through trauma and I have PTSD. And I'm not saying that a cognitive behavioral specialist couldn't help me. I also just think having a trauma specialist, like they're literally just, you know, they're like more trained. It's like if I had a cyst in my brain, I would want to see a neurologist after my general physician.
Right. For sure. Yeah. I 100% agree there. So I think even just to back up a little bit, it's some people don't label what they have been through as traumatic. And oftentimes, right, to even identify it, what happened to you as traumatic is part of the process of choosing a good therapist. So I think knowing what you're struggling with right now is, and getting clear as you can get about what you feel that you would like help with, will help you navigate what specialty to seek out. So, like Trixie was saying, she knows that she has trauma, right? So she is going to look for a therapist that specializes in trauma. And there are like CBT therapists, DBT therapists, all of the specialties can treat trauma, right? Mm-hmm. But what it comes down to really is, I think, and this is my opinion, and I know that other people have their opinions, and it's everybody's is valid. I think that what I've experienced is it's really the relationship that you have with your therapist that builds the foundation for how your treatment goes. If you're able, like Trixie was saying, to be honest with where you're at and what you're struggling with, right? And what you know to be true about yourself and what you're kind of uncertain about, like you can't, like maybe because trauma, you know, clients that have trauma, their memory isn't fully there all the time. So they may forget things and details to certain events. So just knowing that part and having a therapist that understands that piece of it is super, super important so that you can feel validated and normalized and that you're not alone. And the not alone part, I think, is that relationship that you have with your therapist where, and you might be building this, right? But being able to say, hey, that doesn't sit right with me, or hey, I don't resonate with that. If you don't feel like you can say that to your therapist, I'm not saying that it's their fault, but I am saying that that is something that should be welcomed by a therapist is you disagreeing with them or correcting them.
Yeah. I feel like, and please correct me if I'm wrong, or because I totally agree with you and I want to go more into that. I feel like a lot of people don't realize that when you go seek treatment and you get a therapist, like, it's not someone telling you what to do with your life. Like, right. It's someone helping to guide you. And I said this to my, a long time ago when I was in CBT, I remember saying this to her, and I remember talking about being frustrated with how TV and the movies portray mental health help, like professional help and therapy and everything, because a lot of the time they are telling you exactly what to do. And mm-hmm. It was really interesting because she's like, well, she was like, you know, sometimes that comes from way back when some people did do that. And she's mm-hmm. like, I don't do that. And she's like, a lot of people don't do that. But, you know, she was saying that in the past, that was sometimes true, mm-hmm. which I can mm-hmm. see being, I can see that being true, especially like in the quote unquote beginning of what therapy is, mm-hmm. especially when it was so new, where it's actually like more experimental, right? Because it's kind of like, well, here's my best guess, hypothesis. We're going to try this out. Treatment and slash like sometimes me telling you what to do. Or, you know, yeah. So I wanted to know, like, how you feel about that. I guess, like, all in all, like, with the feelings of how you feel about that relationship in terms of, like, I don't want to say power over people, but I guess, like, mm-hmm. the person getting treatment having power. And then also maybe how you feel about also the portrayal of mental health help in media.
Right. So I'm going to try to cover it all. So
tall order.
So I think there's a couple things. There is prescriptive therapists that do give more directive, they like prescribe the problem, right? So they see in their perspective, based on their treatment modality, what they think is the problem, right? And this is more strategic therapists. They'll tell the person or the family dynamic what to do about it, right? So, and there are, that is helpful to some degree, especially, right, if we are identifying a pattern that the client or the family is deeming unhelpful, and we're suggesting that they try something new, right? We're suggesting that the client tries something new. So in that respect, there is a prescribed modality, right? That is one way to go about it. Another way to go about it is educating, because I mean, if you think about it, we aren't, the normal population of people are not really educated on how relationships are supposed to be, right? Like what a healthy relationship is supposed to look like, right? So we're all really doing just the best that we can out here. And one of the things that therapists do is educate on human behavior. And hey, when you do this in a social setting with someone, right, it's likely that they may get this idea, right? Or they mm-hmm. may have this perception of what you're saying. So educating, right, around how your behavior might be perceived in your world, right? Or how other people's behavior might be perceived to you, but it might not be what they mean, right? So there's like education around human behavior and social dynamics and, you know, family relationships and alliances, right? All of the underlying things that we're not really taught, or at least I wasn't growing up in my family of origin, you know, with the people that raised me. So I think that there's that level. And then I think when you are watching TV or the media or anything that is portraying a therapist, the therapist that comes to mind for me is the therapist in the Sopranos. but how she was with Tony Soprano, you know, she didn't really give him the answer, but she gave all of these like analogies and things that made him kind of think about what he was doing, right? So, but yes, I think in all of that, because I'm saying a lot of words, is just you can disagree with whatever your therapist is saying, right? And I want to empower you to disagree with them if you are not. If something that they are doing isn't working with you, or you're not vibing with it, or it's not resonating with you, because a good therapist is not going to take that personally, and they will adjust to what you need, or they will refer you to someone that can help you better. Okay. If they take that personally, that is a red flag.
Yeah. A big sign of incompatibility.
Right.
Yay. Okay. The question was so big. And so I also want to go back into like your answers and stuff too. I don't know why I crafted a question that was like, let's do like three parts. going back to what you said about education, like I personally feel like I didn't get a lot of those interpersonal relationship skills, right? How to talk to people, how to effectively right. communicate. And then also like, I really wish, and I hope that someday they do this is, you know, in schools, cause it is a lot of education is going to therapy, is like learning coping mechanisms that are healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like how to handle your emotions. Like even like learning, like what are your emotions? And I don't mean like, oh, there's happy and sad. Like, yes, great. Like we know happy, sad, like envy, like all that stuff. Like knowing they exist is great. But you know, like even knowing why do emotions exist? Like how do they service us in our lives? Because I think when a lot of people struggle with their mental health, and I think I've heard this said like a million times, like it goes like, oh, I hate emotions, right? Like emotions are so mm-hmm. stupid. And it's just like, right. oh, like I understand that because I've said that definitely myself multiple times in the past, but mm-hmm. you know, like just learning like why emotions exist for a reason and how mm-hmm. they function in your life and like why you need them. And mm-hmm. I feel like maybe I wouldn't have felt so much hatred towards them if when I was growing up, someone taught me how to handle them. And taught me like what are possibilities of why I'm feeling like this? Like, why is this important for me to know?
Yes.
You know, I think the only thing we ever kind of get taught like about is like fear, right? Like fear helps us not like pick up a rattlesnake. Like when we see it, we feel fear. We don't feel like, oh, let's play with this rattlesnake, right? Like
right.
that's the only thing we get. It's like fear protects you.
Right.
Which is also very simplified. Like that's a very simplified statement, but that's like the one thing I can maybe remember being taught yeah. about emotions, mm-hmm. like to like a quote unquote, like deeper degree than this yeah. is joy. You're like, cool.
Right. Yeah, that's beautiful, Trixie. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like that thing about education, like, you're so right on. Like, you get, that's like the cool part of therapy to me. Like, I really enjoy dialectical behavior therapy, DBT, because it was just like, ready, let's learn all these skills and you get to choose what works for you. And you're, yes, like, oh, cool. Like, here's a million ways to, like, try to address one thing.
Right.
Which was so nice. And then with you saying, you know, you want the person seeking professional help, seeking therapy, to feel empowered. Like, I totally agree. And I was always taught by my multiple therapists that I had in the past that, like, I should have control of my treatment. Like, I, mm-hmm, to, like, a big degree. Like, and yes, that could get really difficult if I'm feeling very, every time I entered therapy, I was really apathetic. And my attitude was just like, well, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I like this. I don't know. You know, and that's really hard, obviously, like, to manage and, like, go from apathy to feeling like I want a say in my treatment, mm-hmm, is sometimes a hard step towards somewhere. But I've always thought, like, it was really important. Like, it was really important that we address my goals. Like, addressing, like, what I feel like I need to address right now. And I feel like you're so right with that, and you should be able to disagree with your therapist, because even though they are professional, like, it is your life, and some things you do know better than what they know. Like, they're bringing, yeah, the education, and they're bringing that, like, perspective, medical perspective, and also that outside perspective. So, you know, they're not taking it personally and being bombarded by that like we are. Like, I can analyze myself all day, but, like, sometimes, or a lot of the time, what happens is, like, I'm being way too harsh. Like, I can try to analyze things, and because of a lot of things, a lot of trauma, a lot of background, something might go haywire, and then I end up having a very harsh conclusion about myself, mm-hmm, right? So, like, mm-hmm, therapists really help with that. But it really, you know, there should be some control. It can't be someone, like, turning you down. Like, I know one complaint that I get a lot when I talk to people about going to therapy and it didn't work for them is that they felt like they wanted to talk about something particular, and their therapist really wanted to talk about their childhood and didn't want to move past that. And, like, I know that's, like, a big thing, and I know it's helpful and stuff, but they were so turned off by it because it was, there was, like, no budging from it, that they're like, well, I, you know, they don't want to talk about their childhood right now. They want to talk about this problem that they're having at work. Right. 'Cause that's really, right, like, is at the forefront of their brain, and that's what they feel like they're struggling with. And even though I can understand going into your history can be really helpful to provide context, and obviously if we have negative behavior patterns, we've started them a long time ago. So, you know, going into history can be helpful that way. But I feel like if your therapist just says no to you, and, you know, you lose that automatic, like, not automatic, you lose that control of your treatment, like, right away, and someone's forcing you to talk about something you really aren't, like, you can't, or you really don't want to. I mean, that's why people go to one and then they're done, when they lose that sense of control, when they feel like they really have to talk about something that they weren't planning to talk about, nor were they ready to talk about, and the person isn't budging. Like, that's that's really hard, because then you do feel like you're being backed into a corner of somewhere you really don't want to be.
Right. And it's disempowering. It's really disempowering to be in that space, you know, especially if you've been in that space before, right? Like, with having an experience where you haven't had control or power, right? And I think that you're right on the money. Trixie was saying, with saying that about your therapist, if they keep trying to, I mean, and I'm just going to be pretty explicit, if they are not honoring where you are at, right? And meeting you where you are at, okay? That I think is an issue. Now, I think that there is a degree of healthy discomfort after you have built trust and rapport with your therapist and you trust them to go there sometimes with you and challenge you a little bit, right? To like shift some of the things or allow you to think about some of the things maybe you haven't thought about, right? But that is after they have built trust with you. It's like any relationship, right? Like you're not going to just meet someone on the street and tell them your whole life story. Like that takes time to build, right? Mm-hmm. And people, and I think just like anybody else, therapists have to, and again, this is my opinion, and I try my best, and I know I'm not perfect. No one is, but really meeting people where they are at, I think that's essential, really. I really think that that's essential because like you're saying, Trixie, if you try to push people too far, they're not going to want to come back. They're not going to trust you.
No, it's exactly like, you know, if you are explicit with a boundary, that boundary should be respected, you know? And I know, and that's the thing with therapists too, right? Like you guys have such a hard job because sometimes that boundary isn't set explicitly. You have to kind of like go off of our reactions, you know? Mm. Like I might just freeze and start to dissociate, you know? And then that for you, then you have to be like, okay, well, let's deal with that first. And obviously we're not going that way today. Like right. This isn't where right. we're going. Like that's the hard job. And like, you're so right with the whole challenging thing. Like my CBT therapist, she was so good at challenging me in a way where I still felt really safe. Like, and sometimes we would have like bigger challenges. Like once she asked me if I wanted to write letters to people to get closure that I felt like I couldn't actually speak to them in person, or I literally couldn't speak to them in person. So, but it was really like just the concept of that, even though it was writing letters that I would never hand to anyone, like made me like, huh? And so like, you know, she first mentioned it and then obviously it was too much. And then we just kind of talked about, you know, we went back to where like I felt okay. And then like she would mention it slowly or be like, maybe this. And she always asked me like how I felt about that. Like she would make a really, like sometimes she'd make a really big challenge or suggestion. And then she'd always ask me like, how does that sound to you? Like, does that actually sound like something you want to do? So I never felt like I was being like told what to do. And I never felt like, oh my God, I'm being pushed too far. Cause it was like up to me. It was always up to me. It's like, okay, like, you know, and then she was there to be supportive and like, actually, if I didn't know how to feel then, or how I felt, then we can talk about that. Like, that's right. The cool part, like therapists, you know, like, at least in my experience, having a therapist who knew how to ask the right questions, like to help me actually figure out what the fuck I was feeling. Like, and you know, that's not even necessarily why, like they had, like I had that too. And that was great. But even sometimes when you don't know how you feel, that can be super overwhelming. So to have someone guide you to where you do feel safe, like Tina said, the trust is so important. Like if you don't trust your therapist, it is not going to work out. Like it is not. And I feel like You know, if you don't gel with your therapist for any reason, like that's okay. Like go get another one. Like Tina said, they shouldn't take it personally. Like I know I need a female therapist. Like I cannot feel safe with a male therapist. Like to be able to talk about everything I need to. And that's okay. Like, it's nothing, it's like, it's what I need. And like, those things are okay to say, because it doesn't help if you're like with a therapist you're super uncomfortable with. And so one, you're fighting your discomfort. And then two, you're also trying to be vulnerable and like get help. It's just like, whoa, like one thing is already like a lot. Like having to fight your discomfort while trying to get help is just like, nah, man, this is not the life. Like, this feels horrible.
Yes, for sure. 100% agree. So if you know, like Trixie was saying, if you know that, hey, I seem to open up more to females than I do to males, right? Right. If you know those little things about yourself, that would help you, right? Open up in therapy, really honor that. Right. So, and I kind of want to go back to what you were saying about emotions.
Ooh, yeah.
Earlier, and how, you know, fear is so like, right. That's like that's like a survival response, right? To be afraid of things, to get out of the way, to run, to fight, or to freeze, right? Those are like the fear, anxiety responses. So just like fear can be helpful in those situations, other emotions like sadness, right, and anger and loneliness, those emotions give you information too. They give you information too. They're not, and I think in just our society and where we live, right, I think a lot of the times we unfortunately label emotions as inconvenient. They're inconvenient things that are happening to us right now.
Yes.
Right? I can't feel sad right now. I have a presentation to do. Right? To like, or I can't be angry right now because I have to get along with this person. And right. But just what if your emotions were always right and they were always giving you information, right? Not for you to do anything with it, but for you to let them run through your body and your heart, right? And make decisions, right? Integrating both what you think and how you feel. And that's kind of what I try to teach people is, yes, like our minds are super powerful and we can probably solve anything that we can think of, right? But also integrating that emotional part of ourselves that we tend to neglect sometimes or push down or not pay attention to is just as important.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I love it. I love that you said that. 'Cause like, that is it, right? Like your emotions can give you so much information. And when you don't, I feel like when we just keep pushing them away, we just, you know, we don't get the ability to learn how to look at them and like sit with them, but also like the ability to actually try to figure out like, why am I feeling like this? 'Cause it's really hard. 'Cause, you know, like, and this comes up with relationships a lot, right? Like you might pick a fight with your significant other and you're super upset because they didn't do the laundry, right? And it's just like, they said they do it 10 minutes ago. How come it hasn't been done yet? And you're going all like, you're like crying, you're like yelling. And I that seems like a lot. And I think sometimes it's easy for people to like, just be like, oh, well, like you're just out of control, right? Like you're just out of control. Like you're a crazy person, but it's just like, maybe something else is wrong. Like, 'cause even if you realize like, whoa, that was not a proportionate reaction to what was happening. So like, if you get to that point, that's great. And then you can go, what else might it be? Because it's not happening for no reason. And that's where it can be like really helpful. Like maybe you are really just unhappy with this relationship mm-hmm. and you've gotten to like a melting point. Or maybe it has like nothing even to do with that partner, but maybe you're so stressed out at work. And because maybe like your boss are giving you a hard time and obviously you can't speak back to them, that you're taking it out on someone else, you know, mm-hmm. or maybe you are literally being triggered. Like, you know, like you're being triggered. Like if you have trauma and you have PTSD, maybe you're being triggered and you don't even know. Right. Mm-hmm. Like you could be triggered by like maybe the smell of the clothes reminded you of a really bad time in your past and you don't even know. And you know, like those things, like triggers are so hard. So I know that I'm going to like a new topic, but like, you know, like there are so many different reasons of why you can feel your emotions. So like, I so agree. It's so important to just not dismiss them or just think that they're inconvenient. Yes. Like sometimes functionally we have, you know, it has to be like, I can be like, I'm really upset, but I do have to work with this person. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm going to let myself be upset, but I'm also going to figure out a way to be functional, you know, and get this work done. But, you know, I can address it later too. Like maybe right now mm-hmm. is like a bad time because I'm at work, but that doesn't mean like, oh, I'm going to go home and I'm just never going to think about it again mm-hmm. until I go back to work. And now I feel worse and there's no time to think about it again. You know, mm-hmm. it's so easy to get into those cycles of like, it's time to push off our emotions. Then you're home and you're tired and you're like, I don't want to deal with my emotions.
Yes.
And cycle. Right.
So true. And I think my mentor, I got to give a shout out to Carrie Nola. She's awesome. She taught me this trick, right? Because it's just really helpful when you're kind of being hard on yourself about feeling something, anything, anger. And you're like, wow, I shouldn't be feeling like this. Like, Tina, you need to get over this or whatever, right? Whatever it is. If you can think to yourself, of course I would be feeling fill in the blank because fill in the blank, right? Then you can practice authentically validating yourself inside, right? And building that skill so that you're almost like reparenting yourself, right? So you're telling yourself what you need to hear so you don't make things, you know, you're not that like, that critical part of yourself is kind of put to the side and you're validating yourself, right? It's like a practice though. If your tendency is to be like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't be upset about this, or I shouldn't be sad about this, or why am I lonely? Everybody's around, right? Like if you can just take a minute. And this is hard, like Trixie was saying, because a lot of times we'll repress something, which is a coping skill and it does help for the time being. But when we don't come back to it and it kind of piles up and, you know, it gets layered with other things that we're not, that we're kind of not taking a look at, mm-hmm. That invalidating part, it becomes a little bit, it becomes overwhelming. So if you can just take a second just to say, of course I would be feeling like this, right? Because yeah, this person stood me up, or yeah, this, you know, I'm disappointed right now. I was really excited for this to happen, right? Of course I would be feeling like this. It's just a little tip.
I like that because that's also something you say to your friends, you know, like, of course you're sad you didn't get this promotion that you've been working for, you've been working towards for the past 6 months. Of course you're disappointed. Of course you feel down. Like, and it's so, cause it's so clear. Like you're, I love that. It's like reparent yourself. Cause it is so clear when like another person says it to you. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's so much easier. It's so much easier to say that to someone else than it is to yourself. So be like, of course, like, of course you're sad. Like, of course you're angry. Like, this is a not silly one, but it's just like, of course you're angry. Really, you're hangry and you need to feed yourself so that you can like, we can try this again. So, you know, that we can really separate what you're feeling. Like, of course you're in like this mad right now. Cause not only was that awful, not only did someone just cut you off on the road, but you're also really hungry. You know, like those things piling up, but like, that's so good to like learn how to I need to do that. Like, I need to do that. Like and that's the thing. Like, don't you wish that you were taught this when you were little? Cause it would be so much, everything would be so much easier instead of just like beating yourself up every day and just being, cause like, you know, when you don't have those skills, when you aren't taught those things, it turns into, of course I suck. I just mess up everything.
Right.
Like it turns like then you get those things because those are the things to easily develop slash, you know, if there's someone in your life who introduced that negativity to you, it is so easy to hold on to that as a child and then quote unquote thrive, but you're not really thriving, you know, but you, like, your whole patterns of behavior stem from that, patterns of thinking.
Right.
You know, when you're young, it's you really are like you're really vulnerable and it's not like that's a bad thing. It's just you're like a sponge. You can you can sop up all the good things along with all the bad things.
Right. So true. So true. And another thing is, and this is not to anybody not trying, right, their hardest to be a good parent, but oftentimes parents want their kid to be happy, right? And so they unconsciously invalidate the actual feeling that is going on, right? That needs to be acknowledged and held and not pushed away or like go to your room or, you know, you know, that's, I think, really hard sometimes for parents to see your kid struggling and not know what to do. Not know what to do. So, and I think like if it's a pattern where their feelings weren't validated, right, by their parents, then they're not they don't know how to validate and honor the feelings of their kiddos. So it's this cycle of repressing feelings and, yeah, unless you're taught that feelings are normal and feelings are information and you're allowed to feel and it's okay to feel, right? We learn which feelings are more appropriate than others to present and show.
Ooh, yes, masking. Super masking. Oh, masking is such a real thing. I want to actually get back to your title just because we've talked so much and we've hit some things with trusting your gut. But I guess, why did you pick that title? Learning to trust your gut even in therapy.
So I had another mentor, Nick Kiamat-Havan, that is just awesome. And he taught me a lot about trusting your gut. And I that really resonated with me because I think that if you can get to the point where you're clear, right, about anything, even being clear that you're unclear, that's one step toward being honest with where you're at and healing. So, yeah. I think that therapists or anybody in general can teach you things, right? And can try to show you things, but really what it comes down to is how you feel about it and if it resonates with you, right? And if you feel aligned with it, with aligned with the information that you're being given. Yeah. And so another thing that I Carrie has taught me is, notice the things that like make you feel expansive and inspired, right? Expansive and inspired. And then the things that make you feel like restricted, right? Or less expansive or like kind of like, restricted. That's information too. So like trusting your gut is, I think for me, feeling out the information in your bones and, listening deeper to whether it resonates with you. And that goes for picking a therapist. I think that goes for anything. Like you can apply it, you can apply it to anything. But it is, I think it's also a practice, right? So we're not taught to be quiet and listen and be still, right? Like, I think that's easier said than done. And like most of us, if not all of us, are so used to being told what the right way to go is. But really, right, if anybody's telling you the right way to go, that's not necessarily your right way.
Yeah.
Unless it's someone that knows you very well, right, and you know them, and they're suggesting something because they know you like that, then they might have a valid perspective about you. But ultimately, it comes down to trusting your gut or learning how to trust your gut and listen inside deeper.
Oh man. And that's so important too. And I want to say to anyone who would, cause this kind of popped into my head, like a thought that I, probably would have had like going into therapy in the beginning is like, well, I don't know how to trust my, I don't know what that is. I don't trust myself. You know, and like, so how do you do that? And I want to say, like, as a person who's gone through therapy, as opposed to like a therapist, like, dude, sometimes you just got to try. Like, you got to trust your gut the best you can. And sometimes it looks like just being like, okay, maybe I don't know what good is, but I know what makes me feel bad.
Great.
And starting yes. to rule out from there. And yes. again, to like, knowing that, and it is really hard. It is really hard. Like a lot of people who go to therapy, right? We have like trust issues with ourselves and self-confidence issues. And that might be a common thing with us, but that doesn't mean we can't, we know some things. So we have just to start from where we are. And then really, you know, that's also why it's really important that we trust our therapist, because they're going to be the ones helping us learn how to trust ourselves more. If that's one of our things that we're there for, if one of our goals is to like, I want to trust myself more and learn how to listen to myself, you know, there has to be some trust that like this person you're talking to will help you get there. And it's really, really hard. And so, yeah, it's not necessarily an easy thing to do, but it is really important. And again, sometimes it just looks like I know that X, Y, and Z makes me feel bad. I know that in this moment, this person is making me feel highly uncomfortable. And yes. sometimes there is that personal challenge where you're just like, is this just because I'm uncomfortable or am I actually getting a bad vibe? You know, and then you just kind of have to like, you have to pick something. You have to pick one and like go from there. You know, if you're really unsure, you can try like a therapist like more than once and then decide more than once. It's not like if you go back a second time, you're, you know, you're devoting your whole life to this person. That's not how this works. It's like you get to trial and error things. Like that would hopefully one day we could all do this very easy in our health system, you know, to just be like really shop around for like the best medical care, whether it's physical or mental health care. Mm-hmm. So we can really find someone who we do vibe with, who, mm-hmm. you know, we can trust, so we can learn how to build ourselves and trust ourselves in that safe environment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you one more question because it's already been an hour. This one went really, 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 really fast. I always say that, but this one really went in my head. I thought we had like a good 20 more minutes, but we don't. So I guess this is a more personal question, or maybe like more opinion type of question. Like, as a therapist, what do you hope to I want to do a two-parter. As a therapist yourself, what do you hope to provide? And as a therapist, what do you think are at least like a couple things that therapists definitely should provide? Like, you know, like this is like, you should have this with a therapist, like whether it's like talking about HIPAA and something like straight up like that or something else. So there's my two-parter question for you.
I got it. I'm writing them down.
Yes, writing it down.
Okay. So the first one, I hope to provide the people that I work with, one, the ability to learn to trust themselves and empowered enough to say what they need, what they want, how they feel, and to disagree with me. That is what I hope to provide. I also hope that the people that I work with don't feel alone. So I want, my hope is that the people that I work with to get that out of their experience with me. And then I think that therapists should, in general, provide a safe place for people to come and be themselves and explore who they are in a non-judgmental setting. Because I think that's where healing happens. And, trust is big. I think that should be the priority of all therapists, to build trust with, their clients, the people that they're working with. And, I hope, and this is just my opinion that, I think more therapists would agree with me than not, is that the foundation of any therapeutic relationship is the relationship. So I bring myself into the therapy room with you, right? And then you're able to bring yourself in the therapy room with me. We're both humans, right? Trying to figure this out, trying to figure this thing out. So I would hope that therapists provide that space for people to be themselves, as well as a therapist bring themselves, because I think that is really important in healing. If you think that your therapist, you know, is just, and this is kind of, I'm a little biased because just the word, I didn't think of myself as a therapist for a long time. I kind of was like, don't call me, I'm not a therapist. No. Right? But like, just, I'm a human person, right? I just want to help you. Like, that's all. I don't, you know, I think that therapists that, I mean, take their job too seriously and use the power card is not great, is not good. I think that I would hope that it's two humans, right, that are exchanging information, that are trying to, that have a shared vision of healing.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That's beautiful. Because even though, like, you know, you are the therapist, like, you can still be a professional and be a person.
Yeah.
You know, you can be a professional and be a person. Like, those two things already exist. So, like, you know, like, you know, obviously, like, Tina's not saying, like, oh, I get to be as a therapist, I get to share, like, my experiences and da-da-da-da. It's like, no, that's not it. That's not what she's saying at all. But, like, just to, like, be a person, like, to be a person, like, I am a human being here to help you with all, like, my knowledge and what have I, and everything that I've learned, you know, to educate, because that is such a big thing. Right. And then also to, like, actually listen. And it totally makes sense with what you said, right? Because that's how you provide the not being alone part.
Right.
You know, like, not feeling alone, like, yes, like, I'm your therapist, but I'm also here with you as a human being who thinks that you deserve help, right? Like, right. That's the not feeling alone part. And yes, of course it is, like, there are differences between, like, professional relationships and, like, you know, like, going to, like, a parent or a trusted friend. Of course there's going to be differences. But, like, again, like Tina said, they're people too. They are people. And, like, that, I love it, because that acknowledgement does feel less lonely.
Yeah.
Because it is a person there to help you and guide you, you know, and educate you. But they're also, like, a person, like, you know, like, who, you know, isn't you, but they have feelings too. Therefore, it's not like, you know, hopefully that validates them, and knowing that, you know, when you validate also their emotions and stuff like that, it's not like because you're a robot or a textbook. It's just because, like, no, yeah, those feelings are super real. Like, you know what that is, you know those feelings, like, professionally and also, like, personally.
Right. And I think a good therapist can really make you feel not alone, right? Because when you're sharing with them, your feelings, right, should be honored and validated and normalized. You should feel that you're not crazy.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of vulnerability, not only to show up in the therapy room, which, I mean, it's so brave, right, that you take that step, but then to share your feelings and emotions with someone, that's a privilege to hear people's stories and journeys. And it's something that should be honored.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yay. Yes, Tina. Thank you so much for joining me today. This was a super awesome conversation. This was nice.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you are interested in Tina and Blue Owl Counseling, please check her out below. It's floating right there. She's great. And like she said in the beginning, she's also starting... You're also collaborating on another nonprofit.
Yes. Stronger Together.
Stronger Together.
SD.org. Yes.
Yes. Is it San Diego? So everyone in San Diego, you know, look it up. Look for our people. And also for everyone out there, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. If you're here during the live show, thank you for listening. If it's later on, I hope you enjoyed this information, and I hope you got a lot out of it. Like, again, like, a lot of the time we come from the perspective of, like, you know, these are people's individual stories. This is who we are as people, and we don't necessarily have a lot of mental health professionals. So I think this was really cool to talk about therapy, like, with a therapist, who is a human and is very much, you know, shared a lot of her opinions, but also a lot of her knowledge. So again, thank you, Tina, for that. Yeah, I mean, I got a lot out of it. I'm going to do that parenting thing to myself. Of course I feel this. Da-da-da-da.
Of course, like, it's so helpful.
I like it. I like that one a lot. So I hope you guys like that too. Make sure, again, that you check Tina out, and make sure if you have the means to do so, that you check out Dee McClure San Diego Bail Fund and donate to that, or at least look at what they're doing and see how they're helping our community. Yes, San Diego. Blue Owl, again, Tina's here in San Diego. So again, if you're here, make sure you check her out and her Instagram too. She has that Blue Owl Counseling on Instagram as well. And yeah, until next time, like, make sure you're taking care of yourself and drinking water and being super nice to yourself during this pandemic. Again, Tina, thank you, and good night, everyone. Bye.
Thank you, Trixie.
Yeah.